Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, October 27, 2015. Really weird. I almost said 2008. I have no idea why I'm doing a time warp thing. Anyhow, hey, great to have everyone here today. Also great to have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am fantastic. Thanks for having me.
It's awesome to have you here. And also, we have a special guest today. This is really cool. Alf Watt, he is the creator of iStumbler, which is an awesome utility. I'm using it. Dave, I think you use it as well.
Always.
And then also, Alf is a former Apple Wi-Fi developer. So Alf actually worked for Apple. And Alf, it's great to have you here.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's really awesome to have you here. And the reason I wanted to have the two of you here together today is because there's quite the kerfuffle right now about the whole Apple Wi-Fi Assist thing on the iPhone. And people are like really worried about whether or not their data connection is being I don't want to say hijacked, but usurped without their knowledge and used when they have a poor network connection otherwise. And I thought maybe we could work through some of this stuff, and I don't know if we can resolve the issue, but maybe we can at least shed some light on what's going on.
I think, you know, given that the issue has sort of gone to court, the resolution is going to be a slow process. So we'll be watching this one unfold for a little while, I think.
Yeah. The wheels of justice, they turn slowly.
Very slowly. Yes. Frustrating as it may be, that's intentional, which I guess is okay because it makes for longer news cycles is what it makes. Yeah. Anyhow, so for people that don't understand yet what the whole Wi-Fi Assist thing is, what Apple did in iOS 9 was they put in this thing that when you have a Wi-Fi connection that just isn't up to snuff, so it's not connecting reliably, you're not getting data to transfer through properly, then it can fall back to your cellular data connection on your iPhone. Which sounds kind of cool because that means you don't have to worry about whether or not you have a good connection. Your iPhone is just taking care of it for you. But the other side of that is your data connection through your cell service provider may be used when you don't realize it or want it to be used, which does raise the possibility that you could hit your data cap with your cell service provider without realizing that you're doing it and then get hit with surprise overages.
Yeah, I think that's a fair summary of the lawsuit that's been brought against Apple for a whopping $5 million. So, and I think, you know, just to be clear, this is the way the Wi-Fi and cellular radios on the phone have always worked, right? There's really no fundamental change. What's different is the breakpoint. So the point at which the phone decides, you know, the Wi-Fi is really not working out for me, I'm going to roam over to the cellular network or hand off to the cellular network, is coming earlier in the process. And I think from a usability point of view around connectivity, that's a good thing. But, you know, of course, the feature is specifically designed to use more of your cellular data or to use, you know, cellular data more often or aggressively. So it will for, you know, at least some people, at least some of the time, mean higher charges on their phone bill at the end of the month. I think it's sort of an unavoidable consequence of, you know, the using the cellular network.
Sure. And just on a side note, for people that really don't want to have Wi-Fi Assist turned on, it is something you can turn off. And we did a how-to at Mac Observer. So I will make sure that is included in today's show notes so that people have a nice little walkthrough on shutting off the feature. Oh, go ahead, Alf. Go ahead.
It's good to have that. I think what remains to be seen at this point, and I'm sure it'll come out in in the trial. Well, if the issue goes to trial, right, a lot of these things are settled sort of before then. It'll come out in that process. But I think what the big question and the sort of anxiety behind this is, okay, well, how much? Right. We know there's going to be some increase, but we don't know what the impact of that is yet. Right. We don't know if it's really, you know, $5 million spread across all of all iOS 9 users, or if it's, you know, amounts to a sort of hill of beans. You know, it's unclear at this point what the total impact of this is. I think that's sort of the interesting question. And, you know, maybe underlies, you know, the sort of anxiety that we all have around, you know, this mysterious invisible network that we're all part of, that we all use, and not having really clear visibility into it. So I think there's a user experience problem here, above and beyond the, you know, sort of financial issue.
Yeah, I guess that was the part that stuck out to me is, you know, if I look at my phone and it says I'm on Wi-Fi, I expect that my data connections are going to go over Wi-Fi. But in this case, with Wi-Fi Assist, the Wi-Fi, there is no visual or otherwise indicator to the user that we're now jumping over to your cellular data for whatever it is you happen to be doing at the moment.
That's right. The Wi-Fi signal indicator in the status bar in your iPhone is still showing just the Wi-Fi
right
at that point.
And that's the part where it gets kind of weird for me, because you're right. I mean, I think you made a great point, Alf, that it's the line at which it falls over has been moved or is movable, we should say, right? Because the user can go back to the quote-unquote old way. Whether it's truly the old way or not, I don't know. I don't know if you know. But, you know, presumably it's, you know, sooner or later is what we're flipping with that toggle. But the difference...
That's fair.
But the difference is, it's not, you know, if I leave my house, eventually once I leave, you know, the Wi-Fi signal goes down and down and then finally goes away and it is replaced with either, you know, 4G or LTE, whatever kind of network I'm on through my wireless provider. But that doesn't happen with Wi-Fi Assist. And that's the weird part is, you know, it would seem to me that as an engineer developing this, whoever was doing this, would have wanted some indication that it was happening while they were testing it. And gee, wouldn't that make you think we should tell the user too? I mean, somebody can see when this is happening.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. No one else, our cell providers see when it's happening because of data. But that's
sure.
Yeah, and they're dutifully writing it down and making sure that it ends up on your bill at the end of the month.
They're not missing out on that. So I'm just,
you know, so Apple in the
Yeah.
Sorry to butt in, but Apple in the tech note is very clear. In fact, they have a one sentence paragraph that says, when Wi-Fi Assist is activated, you'll see the cellular data icon in the status bar on your device. And so they don't sort of include an image of what that cellular data icon looks like. So it's a little, I think there's a little uncertainty about, okay, well, how can I know when this is going on? And again, you know, it's just, there's, the breakpoint for Wi-Fi is really tough to get. If you look at the sort of, you know, history of networking at the sort of very low technical level, the network stack in all modern operating systems is built around this concept of a link, and it's a binary thing. You are connected or not to a given network interface. And so in the days of plugging in modems and Ethernet, or, you know, Apple Talk, even way back when, that was kind of all you needed, right? Your Ethernet's plugged in, you know, 999,999 times out of a million. That means that you're going to get all of the bandwidth available to you, and you really don't have to think about the quality of that connection. You're just plugged in; it's on, right? Radios, both cellular and Wi-Fi, have a very different, you know, it's a very different sort of experience, right? They're sometimes connected, sometimes at a high rate, sometimes at a low rate. It varies, you know, depending on how far you are, how far the devices that are communicating are apart and what's in between them. And things move around and people, you know, the orientation of devices changes. And all this has an effect on whether the connection is, you know, great or, you know, completely unusable. And so for Wi-Fi in particular, and especially on mobile devices where the, you know, antenna systems are limited or, you know, compactified and built into these little tiny devices that we carry around, there's what I call a kind of an uncanny valley of Wi-Fi. And that's where the beacons that access points send out to say, hey, I'm an access point and you can connect to me, please. You know, and this is what the phone uses to determine, or what the Wi-Fi chip uses to determine that it's linked. If it can see these beacons on a regular basis, if it's not missing them too frequently, it says, okay, I have a link. I have a Wi-Fi connection. But there are more than a few cases where, you know, the access point, which tends to have bigger antennas with higher gain and better coverage, is streaming these out, and the phone can hear them perfectly well. But the phone is not actually able, through its, you know, relatively sort of smaller, less powerful antenna system, to either send data frames all the way to the access point, or acknowledge the data frames coming back from the access point. So this, you know, weird spot where it looks to the operating system and very often is indicated to the user that, hey, you're connected, you're linked, you have a good Wi-Fi connection. When in fact it's going to be, you know, a pot shot as to whether or not you can use that connection. And so I think the feature is designed to work around that problem. And that's a, you know, kind of across the board problem for a lot of devices. It's certainly not unique to the iPhone. But I think, you know, it would be nice if that fundamental issue was addressed a little bit more and seriously. So firstly, and then the other underlying issue that we're looking at here is just, you know, the sort of, you know, still high cost of cellular data, right? You know, the anxiety around this is really financially motivated, and you know, the fact that we're anxious and, you know, can't quite figure, you know, and sort of, you know, on the verge of panic almost over whether or not our cell bill is going to come in two or three times higher than it would be, I think tells us a lot about the sort of cellular marketplace and, you know, how little visibility we have and how little control we feel like we have of our data usage. So I think that is a, you know, sort of different, you know, these two issues and, you know, coming together, making this perfect storm of, you know, oh Lord, my phone is, you know, going to cost me way more than I want it to.
Now, from everything you just said, what I'm kind of picking up out of this is that if you're on a Wi-Fi network that for whatever reason your iPhone decides isn't doing what it needs to do, so it falls over to or falls back to Wi-Fi assist, so it's now using my cellular connection. Right. When that Wi-Fi signal or network is good enough again, we're just as likely as not to jump back to that. So we may have a perfectly usable Wi-Fi signal, but then we're still stuck on the cellular connection because our iPhone didn't switch us back over.
Now, that's a really interesting question, and I just don't know the answer to that. And I spent some time last night, you know, swapping out access points, and I have one set up. I'm gonna see if I can run some tests with it and figure that out. You know, working up the stack, as we say in networking, applications, when they connect to services on the internet, they typically, you know, ask the operating system. They say to the operating system, "Hey, I would like to open a connection to, you know, themacobserver.com because I want to fetch that web page." And the operating system says, "Okay, well, let me look at what I have available in terms of connectivity. Right, I got Wi-Fi that seems to be working, so I'm going to make the connection across Wi-Fi and then hand it back to the application." But once that's established, once the connection is sort of set up, for most applications, switching it is not something that happens very often. So the question that I'm having, and if you did switch it in the middle, you know, the server at the other end would have a hard time communicating back to you, right? So one of the questions that I have is, like, how are they affecting the transition from one, you know, network connection to the other? And then, yeah, is it possible for that transition to go back? Or is this only applied in sort of new connections made after the phone determines that it's going to engage the assist? So that is an open question. And, yeah, that's a – you know, when I opened up my – you know, I'd heard a little bit of chatter about this. And when I opened up my phone and looked at it, the if you go into settings and cellular, they give you a list of all of your applications and how much data they're using, right? So, and that's, you know, if you scroll to the bottom of that list, which in my case is unfathomably long, there's the switch to turn it off. I sort of got hit by, you know, a sticker shock, right? So I saw there were a couple applications in particular that I, all, you know, use at home. One of them, you know, specifically to download stuff while I'm at home so I don't have to use my cellular data connection. And when I saw that, it was, you know, here I am in the cellular settings, and it's telling me that this application is using gigabytes of data. You know, that's when I sort of, you know, picked up my keyboard and went, oh my goodness, what is going on here? Now, if you look a little bit closer, and after some back and forth on Twitter with some people, you realize that, oh, it's telling you the total data usage for that application, not just cellular. So there's sort of one presentation error that we have, user experience error, where it's like, okay, you know, I'm in the cellular settings. I expect to see cellular usage, not total usage. So that I think there's, sense. Yeah. And so I think there's going to be a lot of people in that same boat of, you know, and I've been doing this for a little while. So it's, you know, if it's not immediately obvious to me, I think that people with less experience are going to have, you know, a real fright.
Hang on a second. And I know you've got more to say on this, but
sure.
I have not experienced that. Now, maybe I haven't experienced a Wi-Fi assist scenario, but I definitely have had apps that use some level of cellular data, but more of it is stuff at home. The apps that I use in a very similar fashion to what you're talking about, stuff mm-hmm. to download here. And right. those don't show up with gigabytes and gigabytes in the cellular settings, even though I know I've downloaded gigabytes with them over Wi-Fi.
So, and the second part of this, which is, you know, again, related to into the sort of billing cycle of cellular, right, is your cellular, you know, pool of data refreshes usually every month, right?
Right.
If you're on a postpaid plan. So that the list there, if you scroll all the way to the bottom, there's a reset button. And I looked at it, and, you know, going back to mine, I looked at it and I was like, oh, this hasn't been reset since last year. So the total huge multi-gigabyte number was for a really considerable time span, right?
It wasn't,
it didn't reflect what I thought it was, which was just the cellular data. And it didn't reflect the time span that's important to you, which is, you know, the time since your last billing. So there's, and just to sort of add insult to injury, it's sorted by application name, not by amount of usage. So you really have to sort of dig through the list to find the outliers.
Okay. So what I'm getting out of this goes back to what you were saying earlier, Dave, which is a lack of transparency. You had mentioned, hey, the developers have little indicators to let them know when things are happening. Why aren't they giving those to us?
Well, but it sounds like I was wrong on that point. It sounds like they are, in that at least the one paragraph, one sentence paragraph at the bottom of the tech note that Alf read for us says that it will drop the Wi-Fi visual indicator when it's on Wi-Fi assist. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. But still, it's hard to figure out what amount of data is really being used.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's
yeah. True. And you know, to just sort of further muddy the issue, you can go to your carrier's website. I use T-Mobile. So I go to my T-Mobile website and I look at my data usage for the last few months, and it's much, much less than what's being reported there for, you know, some of the reasons we outlined. But then I also have, you know, apps on my phone that will watch data traffic for me as well, and they give, you know, a slightly different number. So I've got, you know, sort of three different numbers for how much data is being moved around, and it gets to the point where you're like, well, you know, who do you trust at that point, right? You know, who's got the right answer to this question? So,
does it matter, right? I mean, if you're not blowing past a data cap, is it worth fighting with your cable or your cellular provider?
I mean, I wish we lived in a world where there was no such thing as a data cap, right?
Right, of course.
You know, you sort of understand the model that the providers use is, you know, we've got to meter this, right? Because if we don't, people will just use it all. And that makes sense. You know, the sort of physical reality of it is it doesn't, you know, until some either the spectrum that everyone's using, right? So the stadium case where everyone's in the stadium at the same time and there just really isn't enough wireless spectrum for cellular to work very reliably is saturated, or some piece of equipment in the cellular network that aggregates a bunch of, you know, towers or phones together is saturated. You know, they're paying pretty much the same cost to keep the all the gear powered and warm, no matter what time it is. So it's, you know, the billing is a little artificial in that sense, but it's also, you know, it has to be something that people understand and, you know, that's predictable, I think, is what they're shooting for in their billing plans.
Sure. Hey, we are pretty much out of time.
I have one more question for Alf, though.
Shoot.
Well, shoot.
You mentioned you use apps to monitor your data usage. One that I know we've mentioned on Mac Geek Gab, and I think we've mentioned here, is Data Man. Is that what you use, or do you have something else that you like?
It's not. I have one called Traffic Monitor.
Okay.
That I like pretty well, and it gives a very clean summary, and it lets you do speed tests. And there's a notification center widget that you can just sort of slide down your notification center and peek. So I can see that I've used 2% of my cellular budget so far this month.
Nice.
Yeah. So
we'll put a link to that in the notes. I always hate to refer to something nebulously and then have people say, "Wait, I want to know what that is." So yeah. There you go.
Don't worry. There will be a link to Traffic Monitor and Data Man in the notes. Yes. And Alf, totally on the spot. If you had been in a position to decide how this whole Wi-Fi assist was going to work, would you have done it, or would you have done something different?
Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it? I think my goal in all of the sort of networking projects that I work on is to deliver the sort of three the most important features of networking, and that's connectivity as much of the time as possible, performance the best you can get, and then reliability. So I think if you looked at it in that light, I think they did the right thing. I think the real problem here is how it's being communicated and how the information is being made available to people. So we're kind of in this state where we don't know exactly what the impact of this is. I would wager that Apple knows very well what the impact is. This is probably something that they're tracking in their sort of monitoring systems. So I don't want to say they did the wrong thing in terms of the feature itself, but one of the challenges with Apple and its sort of culture of secrecy and wanting to promote real ease of use is they don't always communicate their intent as well as they could. So I think the real lesson here is that it's really explain how the feature works, explain why it works, and then make sure that the user experience of it reflects that and gives people the ability to control it and sort of the assurance that no, we're not draining your entire data plan down. We're just trying to help you out in these situations where it's otherwise not going to work out for you.
Awesome. Sounds good to me. And we really are out of time. So, Alf, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love the insight that you have in just the whole Wi-Fi mess. Dave, thank you for being here, too.
Thanks. Yeah. Oh, it was my pleasure. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, this is great. I love it when I put really crazy intelligent people together, and I can just sit back and listen. It's awesome. And listeners, thank you for being here today. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.